ask you to help me welcome our 10-minute speaker, Christina. Christina, alcoholic. Let's see. A couple of my friends are here to support me. A couple of them are here because I told them if they're not, I will tell their business out here. So thank you for coming. Whatever brought you here tonight, I appreciate you 12-stepping me tonight. And I hope that I can carry a message of hope and recovery in the 9 minutes I get. My sobriety date is February 22nd, 2003. It was not my original sobriety date. I did amend it after realizing that I was a liar. And I am satisfied with that sobriety date. It doesn't symbolize anything that, you know, my last drink or anything like that, but it does symbolize that I was definitely done with the chaos and the confusion and feeling that sickness that I felt again and again and again. A lot of you had heard my story before, so I won't go into shitting myself at the county jail. I won't go into having a set of three babies by the time I was 19, being pregnant at a Catholic school in high school. I won't go into the fact that I was born to another member of Alcoholics Anonymous that's in this room. There's lots of things that I'm going to skip over because I feel like it's relevant that I talk to you about what's happening today. I came here to this area. It's been about 12 years now. And I had kind of flirted with the area before. I have a really good friend that I've known from this area for decades, and she's now my sponsor. She knew me when I was in my disease, and she knows she's my sponsor. It's a real relationship, not like the relationship I have with Justin Timberlake. She answers the phone to me and everything. She talks to me. She says things to me, you know, that sometimes challenge me. And I'm grateful for that. Today, when I came here to the Central Coast, I had experienced a downfall. I had been employed with the state of California, and they gave me a badge and a gun, and I was one of the highest paid babysitters for the state of California. And then they took it all away from me, and that included the place that I lived and all the security that comes with stable employment. And I was devastated, and not only was I devastated, I was granted the ability to love and care for a child, an infant, young lady who is still with me to this day. She's now 12 years old, and she goes to Coastal Christian, and she gets scolded for having two C's on her report card. She says things to me like, it's okay, bye, you know, from the house, and I think that's so weird because she likes being at home. I had experienced a homelessness with her in the city of Long Beach, and if you've ever been, I don't recommend it. I give it a 1-star. Homelessness in Long Beach was not for everyone. I woke up with bed bug bites on my face, and there were two women that were experienced and in the streets of Long Beach, and they would meet me outside my room and tell me things like, you call the cops, And I told them, if you're so afraid of me, you know, why don't you call the cops? And so we had a standoff. And I ended up arriving here and reuniting with the love that I have with the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was stable enough for me to meet with you, whether it was at the Village Group or whether it was out at the Mesa, which was five cities at the time, or whether it was at my home group, Serenity Group. They met me and they definitely 12-stepped me all the ways that they possibly could, and I struggled, you know, quite a bit. I heard people say, you know, why don't you leave this meeting, you know, because your granddaughter is being too disruptive. And I told them where to put that advice. And through a couple of different wake-ups, I decided that my path, you know, that I was on, you know, I needed to talk a little bit more to God. And so my prayers were very selfish. My prayers were, man, just hook it up, God. You know, can you please just hook it up, you know? Please. And I would say that prayer while I was picking up drunks in San Luis Obispo or Pismo Beach, and they would throw up their cherries, you know, or strawberries in my back seat, and they would throw up their mashed potatoes all over my hair and splatter it all over my front windshield. And I would see big rigs on the freeway, and I would pray, you know, can you please, God, just give me something that I can support myself with. And God did nothing. God did nothing. He was not moved whatsoever. And I looked at, you know, what was going on, and I said, okay, God, you know what? If you see so fit, I will provide for Ava the best that I can possibly do. If you can give me, you know, the opportunity once more to be gainfully employed. And not too long after that, the operating engineers called. I have their button right here and their tattoo right here on the back of my neck. They called me and they said, can you test clean? And I was like, where are you at? I will gladly test clean, you know. And they brought me out to their training site, and they said, here's the excavator, here's the scraper, here's the this, here's the backhoe, here's the dozer, and we'll teach you how to run all of it. And my selfish and self-centered ways, I said, well, you know, what about a Class A license? And they said, okay, we can do that, but only after you learn how to run all these different pieces of equipment. So that was a fair trade. I got my Class A license, was gainfully employed for several, I still am gainfully employed. Not too long ago, I graduated from the apprenticeship program. I can tell you that I did these things because Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to answer the phone and open envelopes and be accountable to people. I spent decades training in this program to figure out how to function out there. And today, to this day, people come across me and they say things like, oh, you don't look like you smoked crack, you know, but I did, I did. And they'll come up to me when I'm rolling asphalt on the streets in Ventura, and they'll tell me, oh, you shouldn't drink that that energy drink, that's bad for you. And I tell them, you'd be surprised at what I did to my body. And if you only knew how proud my mom would be that I'm going to die of this energy drink instead of what I was doing out there. Man, there's a whole group of people that would be like, yeah, you know, she did it. She arrived. I did go back to operating engineers. They had an opportunity for me to be gainfully employed down the road here at Diablo Canyon. And they said, we can give you a little bit more work, Christina, if you get your crane license. And I got my crane license. I know. It's unreal. I have to look at pictures and videos because I don't know how things like this happen to me. You know, other than getting up and showing up, suiting up every day, you know, accepting gifts like Apprentice of the Year, you know, and being, you know, the person that I am. I know there's one way to explain it. It's the only thing that makes sense to me, and that's that I am God's favorite. I say that to challenge you, you know, to get your own God and be His very favorite. I hope that you can find what I have found here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's a sufficient substitute for the discomfort that I constantly feel as a dry alcoholic. The most comfortable state of being for this particular alcoholic is to be my own pharmacist. And I can no longer do that. I'm retired. And I'm grateful that I have you all to 12-step me. Shout out to Jose for putting up with me for the last 11 months. Thank you.
Give her another round of applause.